the introduction to the crucified life. And there's a lot that is said today about the crucified life. And some people who talk about it don't even know what they're talking about. They don't understand what they're talking about. Others of them call the crucified life certain things that has nothing to do with the crucified life. And I hope tonight, by going into the scriptures, to be able to help you. Because each of us, as we walk with God, will step by step come into a relationship with the Lord where that we will crucify self. And unless this happens, our spiritual growth stops. See, there's no such thing as saying, well, I'm as spiritual as I want to be, so I'm going to drive up a stake and stay here. You can't do that. You're either progressing with God, or you're slipping little by little from that walk with Him. See? And so you must always remember that. And as you walk with Him, as the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and directs you, as you flow with the Lord, you will move into a crucified life. Now, the problem that we run into is that many times we have people who attempt to crucify others. Didn't know I knew that, did you? Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. The crucifixion of the self-life comes from a walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and an understanding of Him as He reveals Himself to you, as I will show you tonight. It does not come from someone making a long list of do's and don'ts and trying to force you into that. Now, you will become crucified if you try that, but that's not what the Scripture teaches. See? The Holy Spirit must do it for you, or it is no good. Amen? It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Many people have been driven away from Christianity simply because someone tried to take them and force them into being what they wanted them to be. See? Others have become stale and stagnant in their Christian experience because they were not challenged to move on in the Spirit to become what God wants them to be. The Christian life is an adventure. And every day is exciting. Every day is filled with new things. There are no two days in the Christian life that is alike. There are no two paths that are alike. And the way God deals with me is not the exact same way that He deals with Brother Flanagan. The way that God helped me to overcome a certain thing is not the same way that He may have worked with Brother Fortenberry or Brother Brown or my wife. God deals with us according to our own inner makeup. He works in us to accomplish what He wants accomplished. Not what I want, not what you want, but what He wants. Amen? And so the deeper life, coming to that point of the crucified life, is a very touchy thing, but all of you are going to walk through there. Don't get upset with me, but there are a lot of people today that are trying to get sidetracked, and they're trying to sit on the sideline and say, well, we're going to pull aside and we're going to discipline ourselves and we're going to become real professional Christians, and then we're going to go out there and win the world. That's not the way you do it. See? As you walk day after day, Christ works in you by His Spirit and by the Word to accomplish what He wants accomplished. Hallelujah. Now, just like some students in school are more aggressive than others, some of them latch on to truths real readily, some of them advance real quickly, and others are a little slow. The same thing is true with Christian life. There are some people that you can take, and they'll just grow, and God will begin to reveal things to them. They'll begin to overflow with the knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And sometimes you'll say, my, how in the world did this person go so far so fast? Ed Brown is a person like this. Ed Brown, who is our counselor, Brother Brown has applied himself, but God has given him a divine insight into the Word. Not many people I'd hire and put on my staff that have been a Christian for 3 years. But you know why? From the first time I ever talked to Brother Brown, I saw that he had a grip upon the Word of God. He had a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. There are other people that's been saved for 6, 8, 10, 12 years, but they haven't even got to first base. And someone comes along and says, well, bless God, here's what they need to do. Maybe they can't take it that fast. And you've got to understand that. Some people just can't move as rapidly as others. It took me a long time before I realized that. You know, bless God, I'd get out my whip, and if they wasn't moving along like I thought I'd, pow! Bless God, I'd hang their hides up to dry. You know, if you can't get with it, get out. I've told them that. But some people just thicker-headed than others. Just takes them longer to catch on. Amen? Come on now, you know I'm telling you the truth. So, as a person begins to progress in God, there are things we're going to encounter. But when you start trying to force yourself to do something, you're going to create real problems for yourself. Amen? I have said this to individuals who have habits. If you'll draw close enough to God, the habits will disappear. Amen? They will. If you get close enough to Jesus Christ, they'll just vanish away. Hallelujah. You don't have to put yourself in mental torture trying to give up something. Get enough of Christ in your life, and it won't stay. Get enough of Jesus in your life, it'll disappear. Hallelujah. But when I endeavored to make people become what I wanted them to become, I had problems galore. Because I was turning out Gormanites and not Christians. And I didn't like Gormanites, but I love Christians. Amen. Gormanites were a pain in my side. And I don't want you, I'm taking a little time in the introduction of this lesson tonight. I don't want you, I don't care who you are. I don't want you trying to force your convictions upon other people. But I want you to pray for them and encourage them and lift them up and love them until they come close enough to God that they will become like Christ. Hallelujah. And this is your job as a layman. This is your job as a Christian. This is your responsibility as a fellow laborer in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ becomes so sweet to you that you won't want the things of the world. You won't want the things of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The things at one time you loved, you'll turn to hate. I'm sure that 2 years ago, Larry Seymour would have never thought that he'd have been in service twice on Wednesday. But he was here this morning for over 2 hours and back here again tonight. And many of you are the same way. See? But it's because Christ has worked in your heart and in your life. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take just a few more moments dealing with this one thought. When you are attempting to grow in God, you'll see a lot of things in your life that you don't like. How many of you have seen some things in your life the last week that you don't like? Man, this is an honest crowd. God love your hearts. Amen. I like you. Hallelujah. You don't like those things. Now, the worst thing you can do is say, bless God, I'm just going to quit that on my own. God shows it to you. Then you begin to say, Lord, help me to grow to the point that I won't need that nor want it. And as you read the Word and begin to pray, it begins to fall away. Amen. It begins to fall away. Hallelujah. You see, dying out to these things is easy when you let the Lord do it through you. Glory to God. Oh, it's so easy just to flow with God, just to become what God. See, He first shows you these things. And then He wants you to begin to seek Him for His help to overcome these things. And He'll strengthen you. He will help you. He shows them to you that you can pray about them. But sometimes when you see them, God has shown me things in my life, and whenever I would see them, I'd just break and start crying like a baby. I'd feel so guilty. I'd say, Lord, but I never saw that before. I never knew that was there. I never realized it, Lord. And then I would go to someone, and I'd talk to them. I'd say, you know, I didn't know this was wrong, and I just feel so bad. Yeah, bless God, I've been seeing that in your life, and you better give it up. And if you don't, bless God, you'll split hell wide open. And boy, they were really comforting me. You know, those kind of comforters you don't need. What they're trying to do is force you into their mold. God showed it to you. Now He wants you to ask Him to help you overcome it. Amen. And He'll do it. It'll just begin to vanish away so easy and so sweet. Hallelujah. And it'll be wonderful and exciting walking with the Lord. But I'll tell you something. God never intended for us to be nervous wrecks trying to follow Him. And that's exactly what will happen to you if you start, when you see something in your life, or you see a fault in your life, you see a shortcoming there, and you start beating yourself over the head. Amen? What if your child, whenever it saw that it couldn't run, still crawling, but it looked up and saw its little brother or sister one running and playing, and it just said, I'm not going to ever try to walk because I can't do it today. I'm not going to ever try to run because I couldn't do it today. And that's what some people are doing in their Christian experience, and it's putting them in a straitjacket. Amen? It's putting them in a straitjacket. God only reveals to you today what you can handle today. Amen? And God put that through to my heart very strong when I was back on Elysian Fields praying one day, and as I was seeking the face of God, I read the scripture where Jesus Christ said to His disciples, there are a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. But when He comes, He'll teach you all things, and He'll bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I've said. Amen. Jesus Christ was about to leave this earth. He was about to depart from here. And there were some things He wanted to say, and He was going to leave knowing that He had never had the opportunity to tell them. Never. But He said, there's one coming, and when He comes, He'll tell you all these things that I know I can't tell you now because you can't bear them. Amen? Wouldn't it be nice if we would be as considerate of one another as Jesus was? Amen? And sometimes when you see things that you know a person needs to know, unless God tells you to tell them, the Holy Spirit hasn't resigned yet, and He hasn't gone on strike. Amen? He's still teaching His people. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's such a gentle teacher. Glory to God. To cause you to understand what God wants you to believe, to be and to believe. Now He brings us along step by step to this point to be crucified. And Galatians chapter number 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified. Turn there real quickly. I'm sorry that I didn't give you time to turn. But you better get your pen and paper. I'll be using a number of scriptures for the next few minutes. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life which I now live, hallelujah, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the message of a deeper life is simply a message of the cross. That's all it is. It's a message of the cross. It is learning to relate to what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary and how we're to take up our cross and follow him. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 13, Paul says, speaking to the church there, and let me turn there real quickly with you. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 12 and 13. I want to read both of those verses to you. It's speaking about the gifts that God has given unto the church. And he says he's given these to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now stop and think for a moment. God's ultimate goal is to bring us to the unity of the faith. Is that what he says? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, God's desire for the church is to bring us to the unity of the faith. Where do we get faith? From revealed truth. Isn't that right? As the Lord reveals, as he opened our understanding to the Word, there's no shortcut to getting faith. There is no shortcut to causing your faith to grow. Unity is brought about through the faith, or through the revealed truth of God's divine Word. Now, God's not revealing one scripture to me one way and revealing it to Brother Flanagan another way. The Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, reveals the truth to us, opens our understanding, causes us to behold Jesus Christ, first of all, as the Son of God and the only Savior of mankind. Jesus asked his followers, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say thou art Elias, and others say that thou art a prophet," and And he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter spoke forth and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And immediately Jesus says unto him, "Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this unto you." Meaning unto him, this is a revealed truth to your heart, Peter. This is a truth that has been stamped there indelibly by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no way you could have fully understood that apart from the spiritual revelation that God and God alone can give to you. Every person who is a Christian knows that Jesus Christ is the Savior and he's the Son of God. You'll never find a Christian that don't know that. Have you ever found a Christian that didn't know that? You never will. Amen? How do you know that? The revealed truth that comes to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is the common ground. That is the beginning. You know, Larry, that's whenever your children no longer looked at you as the old man and says there's a generation gap, and you were brought together as a family. When God revealed to you that Jesus is the Son of God, he revealed it to your daughter, he revealed it to the other daughter, he revealed it to your son and to your wife. That put your family together. You came to the unity because of a common faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And that was revealed to you. I did not teach it to you. You can't pump that into a person's head. A person can never be saved by the intellect. It is by a revealed truth that is stamped upon their heart and their life. Now, Paul says, God's ultimate goal is that we come to the unity of the faith. And I can go on this. How many of you just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled before you was going to be baptized? Bless God, I was baptized as a baby. I've heard that so much. Brother Gorman, do you think I need advice? And what they want me to do is tell them what they ought to do. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You just let God work with you, and He'll tell you when to be baptized, or if you should. It's not long till they come. Brother Gorman, when are you going to have another baptismal service? Now what's happening? You don't have to go around slapping people in the face. I know that every true Catholic in this city was baptized as an infant. And if I got up here and began to preach, bless God, you can't know Jesus until you're baptized in water. First of all, I'm not scriptural. And secondly, I'm going to run everybody away. Because you can know Jesus without any water. Amen? You say, don't you believe in water baptism? Sure I do. That you come to Jesus Christ first of all. Hallelujah. You start trying to line people up and run them in that baptismal tank like you're running a bunch of cows into a dipping vat. You're going to run a lot of them away and destroy them. And they aren't going to know why they were baptized after you baptize them, right? So leave them alone. The Holy Spirit is still on His job. Hallelujah. He's still working. He's still moving. He's still teaching. And little by little, He'll open their understanding and He'll bring them step by step until they come to the unity of the faith. They all want to be baptized like everybody else is baptized. Amen? And you say, Brother Gorman, I accepted Jesus, but I haven't been baptized yet. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You will. Amen? I'm not uneasy. Heaven's not uneasy about it. It didn't shake Jesus up because the thief hadn't been baptized. He said, today you'll be a man in paradise. You say, but what if I die before I'm baptized? Do you believe in Jesus? You say, well, is it important to be baptized? Well, it's important enough that you'll never really come to the unity of the faith of the full knowledge of Jesus Christ till you are. So little by little, He'll teach you and you'll understand and you'll be baptized. Amen? And I could go on this. You know, the Holy Spirit, the whole thing's laid out there. And as you walk with God, that's the reason so many people today are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're saying, Lord, if there's something more, show me. And they get down to the bedside and start praying and seeking God, or they start praying at their family devotion one, and all at once they start speaking in tongues. Right? So, it was a Presbyterian couple. Called up, came back to see me. And they said, Brother Gorman, said, we need to ask you something. And said, our pastor sent us over here to talk to you. And I said, well, what's your problem? Said, well, said, the other night, said, we put our babies to bed and we started praying. And said, we've been real hungry for God. And said, we've been having some Bible studies. And said, we just got down on our knees by our bedside and said, my husband's on his side of the bed and I was on my side of the bed and said, we just started praying and seeking God. So we said, Lord, we want everything you got. We just want to be what you want us to be. And all at once I started speaking in a strange, funny language. And said, I was so happy and so filled with joy that I got up and walked around my bed and laid my hands on my husband and he threw both hands up and he started talking in that funny language. And said, we didn't know what to do, so we went to our pastor and we asked our pastor, Pastor, we didn't do anything. We know that we weren't asking for anything wrong. We're just seeking God, and all this happened to us. He says, I don't know what happened to you. Said, I've been hearing a lot of this lately. Now, this is what they told me. They said, if you'll go over and talk to Pastor Gorman, said, I think he understands something about that tongue. Now, I don't say that belittling, nor I don't say that condemning. I don't say that in any way disparagingly. I say that as a simple truth, that if you will seek after God, He will bring you into the fullness that He wants you to be, because God wants you to come to a maturity in Him, hallelujah, that supersedes any religious organization or any religious experience you've ever had. It is a personal experience with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants you to have. He wants to bring you. Bring you. Amen? Little by little, He brings you to the unity of the faith. Excuse me. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Gorman, what does that have to do with us? Have you seen these little splintered off groups out here going every which way? You know why? A lot of it is because they don't know any better. Then there's a lot of it because they don't want to be brought in to where they are accountable to anyone else. Amen? Look at what it said. It says, until ye be perfectly joined together. Till ye be perfectly joined together. I told the Bible study group this morning, I said, how long do you think that your finger would live if you cut it off and put it in the icebox? And someone says, that's nuts. But my Bible tells me that we are members of the body, members in particular. And that means, Sister Brakebill, if you go off out here somewhere and you're going to be a loner, that you're not going to last long. Because the blood quit circulating through this hand. And this is a process. And you, some people said, Lord, crucify me. Lord, crucify. He's not going to crucify you till you learn how that you can kind of mold yourself together. And you begin to flow into what God wants you to be. This has to be before. If any of you are going through the crucified life, which you are, you know, honey, you need one another. Right? Right? And if you're not joined in there to where others can hold you up, where others can pray for you, and where others can minister to you, oh, hallelujah. Until you be joined together. Hallelujah. And you're fit into that place where God wants you to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another thing I asked him this morning that I'd like to ask you, and I didn't know that this was going to go along the same line until I walked in this morning and I shared a couple of things with him. The scripture says to us that we should be fruitful. Have you ever tried to plant a garden? You ever watched that garden grow until it began to produce? Well, you can't start a garden and go off out here for 6 months and then come back and gather fruit from it. Right? The weeds, the bugs, everything else will take over. If you're going to produce fruit, you got to stick with it. Amen? If you're going to produce fruit, you got to stay there. You can't be running off. You can't be forgetting. It's going to be hard. There's going to be difficult times. But you got to hang in there. Amen? You got to stay put. You got to let your roots go down deep. You got to let God begin to minister to you. The real fruitful life is the life that is crucified. See, that's where you produce the greatest fruit, because you have died to self, you have turned loose of your desires, you have but one desire, and that is to serve God. But the beginning of that is learning to be obedient. It's learning to be a servant one to another. It's not seeing who's the greatest in the kingdom, but it's seeing what you can do one for another. It's seeing if you can encourage one another. And all of this comes about before there is a fruitfulness in your life. Hello. Whenever you begin to let God work in you and through you, and you begin to see your brother or your sister, and you see they need help, and you see they're going through a trial and a battle, when you can get under that load and begin to pray for them and with them and love them in spite of their mistakes, then you're moving toward an area that you can become a person of a crucified nature. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Won't you be glad when our church arrives at that? Hallelujah. Just think, you can mistake, nobody's going to criticize you. Amen? Wouldn't that be nice? They're going to pray for you and they're going to love you. If you make a mistake, they're going to come and put their arm around you and say, oh, come on. God will forgive you and we forgive you. And come on, let's pray about it. Wouldn't that be nice? The first few weeks, I'd have more funerals than I can take care of with people dying with heart attacks. But after that, boy, it'll be something else. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is the way it's got to be, friend. If you are going to crucify self. See, if you can't even bring your own old tongue under submission, how can you be crucified? Amen? Someone said, dear God, I want to be crucified. I want to be like Jesus. And you haven't even learned to keep your mouth shut. I know you think I'm ugly, but I'm not. I love you. Amen? These are things that are a must. You've got to be disciplined. Amen? Some of you still haven't learned. Bless God, if somebody does something wrong to you, you turn around and tell them off. Someone does something you don't like, you get your feet to go home and pout, I'm not going to come back to church no more. And then talk about a crucified life. Bless your heart, you can't even get the bottle out of your mouth. Must less be crucified. Amen. I want some of you to know that you're, and some in church are talking about a crucified life, and yet they haven't even learned how to ignore what people say. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a glimpse of crucifixion. Here Jesus goes, going to the crucifixion, and he opened not his mouth. They spit upon him, they plucked out his beard, and he opened not his mouth. Amen. And all of that took place before he got to the cross. Right? Right? And people talk about being crucified. Then you better stay back here with the rest of us till we get ready for the crucifixion. How many of you still love me? Thank you, and we're praying for the rest of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Acts chapter number 4, see what it says to us. Verse 32 and verse 33. And the multitude one heart, neither said aught of the things, but they had all things common. Now, I want to stop right here for just a minute, because I want to take a crack pop. Now, I don't usually attack anything, but when I do it so clearly that nobody misunderstands what I'm doing. Okay? You ready? I'm against communes of any kind, shape, form, or fashion. Amen? Everybody understood that? I don't like them. I don't even like the word. And I really don't like what they're doing to people today. They're splitting up families. Then people are taking this scripture right here and using that to justify our commune. The apostles and the early church made a serious mistake. You know what their mistake was? They sold all of their businesses and turned it over to the church. And when they ran out of money, there was nobody working to support it. You never find any place in God's word where they ever did that again. Paul says unto them, let every man work. And he got down pretty good. I like Paul's remedy. He said, if they don't work, don't let them eat. I like that. He's my kind of man. I don't like laziness at all. But there's a lot of people today saying that you're supposed to sell everything you got, come on into the commune, and what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours, and all this stuff. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And I'm going to show you it doesn't teach it. It says right here that no man called anything that he owned or that he had his own. I came to that a long time ago. Everything I've got, from my wife to my car to my home, everything I've got is dedicated to God, and He can get it tonight, but you keep your cotton picking hands off of it. Right? God doesn't teach that kind of stuff. Am I right, brother? Sure I'm right. This is not what God says. And we got a lot of this stuff going on today. We've got homes that are torn to pieces because wives or husbands or children have gone and joined up in some commune somewhere at this one scripture and stand upon it. And I could preach a whole lot on that, but I'll pass for this time. But you better stop him. God will work. He wants you to have your home. He wants you to teach your children how to act nice where they won't ruin mine. He don't want them all put in one pot and stirred up and live together. Do you believe that? Sure you believe that. How can a man be the head of his house whenever he don't even have a house? And that's what the commune teach, isn't that right? Every man brings everything and puts it in one pot. Everybody moves in, and some big Joe sits back in there with his feet propped up on a desk, and everybody else goes out and works and brings their money in and give to him, and he dishes out every little bit he wants to. We got them here in New Orleans. And they've ruined people. They've ruined homes. They've wrecked lives. And it's not scriptural. How many of you know where I stand on communes? Thank you. I'm going to get them all the way, brother. Hallelujah. Then the next verse says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now the thing that caused them to have great power and the thing that caused them to be able to preach with such great unction is because the people were of one mind. Not because they brought everything they had and piled it up in one pile. Boy, you put a congregation together that are one mind and turn a preacher loose, and he can preach. No wonder Paul preached till after midnight and the old boy fell out of the church and broke his neck. Because when you have a church that's in unity, when you have a church that's bound together, it just inspires you. No wonder they saw such tremendous miracles, because there was such unity of the faith. No wonder they could see the cripple healed and the blind eyes open, and they could see all of these things because the people were one mind. They were in unity. They come together to worship God. It wasn't because they sold everything they had and brought it to the church. That wasn't the reason. It was because they were one mind, one accord in Christ Jesus. You believe that? That's what it was, brother, beloved. And you search the scriptures and it'll teach you that. John chapter 17, verse 21 says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That is a powerful scripture, and I read it many, many times before I saw some of the beautiful truths that are there. Jesus is praying for you and me. He's praying for his apostles, that's right. But in the same chapter, he refers to not only them, but to everyone that will be saved. So he was praying for us. What Jesus Christ was asking for, he says, Father, I want the same relationship to exist between the believer and you and me as exists between you and I now. I want them to be in us, even as I am in you. And he says, the reason I'm asking for this is that the world may know, hallelujah, that I was sent by you. Glory be to God. There's nothing that will cause this city to set up and take note of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ quicker. And when the body of believers come to one mind and one accord, they are as one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And when that begins to exist, all hell begins to shake and begins to tremble, because this is the thing that God desires for each of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the thing that I'm so excited about and the thing that I see happening is that we got people from every walk of life you can think of that's sitting here right tonight. And when I look at this beautiful audience right in the middle of the summertime, and I see how you're sitting there, and I've already been preaching for almost an hour, and you haven't even blinked your eyes. You're drinking in, you're pulling with me. When I see that, and I know that we're coming more and more into Christ, into the assemblies of God, baloney. Forget about the assemblies of God. Forget about the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic. We're coming together in Christ. No devil fit a few months. Hallelujah. That's right. Go ahead and clap. That's the way I feel about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Because more and more, see, Brother Gorman's going to have to close, and you're not going to believe this, but this is just the first page of my notes, and I got five of them. So you can be certain what you're going to get for the next 5 weeks. More of this. But, you see, I had to learn a lesson. And I'm going to close with this. And I want you to learn that lesson. I had to learn that the Lord is building himself a church. And he gave me the opportunity to become a channel through which he might work. But that when it was built, him that built it, not me. So the Lord is building himself a beautiful church. Peter says, a spiritual house, a habitation where the Lord can dwell. And he's taken so many of us. It used to kind of shake me up a little bit when I'd see some of you come in and you kneel at the end of your pew and you go. I kind of shake a little bit, but that don't bother me no more. Really don't. It really don't, and I mean that, and I love you people, and you know that. That don't bother me. Amen. Maybe some of the rest of you kind of hung up on this doctrine and that doctrine and some other doctrine, and you know. And there was a time that I allowed myself to fret a little bit about that until I realized he was building himself a church. But in building this church, my job is to lift up Jesus. And if I lift up Jesus, he begins to draw all men unto him. Hallelujah. And when he gets them in there, if I'll dish out the word, the Holy Spirit will take it. And he'll begin to work it into your life to make you become what he wants you to be. And then some of you, first few times you came to the church, you said, boy, said, if you just stand still behind that pulpit, I could take it. But when he moves around, I don't know what he's going to do. And I knew that gave some of you nervous fits, but God helped you to overcome it. And then about that time, someone would break forth and give a message in tongues, and you'd say, boy, I can take everything in that church, but man, when they start talking in that foreign language, I can't take that. But not only do you take it now, but you do it. Isn't that right? That's right. You see, the Lord had to do all these things. If I could have reared back, and I could have lambasted, and I could have found scriptures to justify me in doing that. But I said, Lord, you know, this is a far cry from what I was brought up under. But I know you're in it. And I'm just going to let you do what you want to do. And I just hope you'll let me be a part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I see him putting it all together, it just thrills me through and through. From the day I came to this city, I wanted a Christian bookstore. I wanted a bookstore so bad. I'd talk about it. I'd dream about it.
Then we got a bookstore. And I said, Lord, we got to get the right people in there. And who could God have ever given us better than the Brake Bills? Now they have the bookstore, and they've been such a beautiful ministry. I walked in there this week, and I couldn't help but cry as I saw people milling up in there, and such a beautiful display, and such dedicated spiritual people. People that can help individuals with their problems, pray with them. They lead people to Christ out there. And I want you to know I'm proud of that. And I'm praying for y'all. I don't get by there very often, but I pray for you. I've always wanted a printing department where we could print our own literature. And God gave us that. And who in the world could he ever give us that would be more dedicated and consecrated to it than Art Linda? Hallelujah. Some of you don't know it, but the other day we just got us a two-color press. That we got it for about a third of the cost. Bless God, it won't all be black now. It won't all be blue. It'll be two colors. And we're printing some of our own tracks now. And all of this, and it thrills me. There's something that I've been wanting for a long time. I've been praying for my first board. I came to the city. I don't know why the Lord didn't let me keep them. He thought maybe back. So he transferred them out and took some of them on to heaven and what have you. But that they didn't last long until I had another board. Brother Cusick is the only man I have on the board now that was in there when I came. But I shared with that first board and I said, men, you know what I want? To have a service on Wednesday night. And I'd like to have that service where that the young people would have a special sounds. The Royal Rangers would be to their sounds. The Missionettes would be to their sounds. But I'd like to have it set up to where we could have them to come from school. And they would be in the, they'd have a meal prepared. They could eat at the cafeteria. There'd be dedicated counselors that could counsel with them if they had problems and work with them. And the young people then could have a service. And that we could promote a service on Wednesday night that would reach the masses of teenagers in the city. And we could tie in with that a hotline so that these kids could know that they could call at any hour of the day and night. There'd be somebody there to help them. And I've been praying about this and seeking God about this. Marie had walked in this week and he didn't know what he said. He said, Pastor, would you let me have a Wednesday night service? I don't want to interfere with anything, but said, you know, it's just been on my heart. Would you just let me have that? And Ed doesn't know this yet, but there was a couple that came in right after he walked out and I was to counsel with. And they said, Pastor, we don't belong to dealing with us. We've been working with young people that said, we've just been working with them out here, but these young people need a church. And we've been visiting around. We feel like this is the kind of church that they need. And they began to share with me some things. And then I began to unfold the burden of my heart. And God came down in that office and just blessed my soul as I see one more piece of that mammoth puzzle that God showed me 11 years ago coming to be. Amen. He's going to bring us to the unity, hallelujah, of the faith. And we're going to go to the full stature, hallelujah, of what God wants us to be as a body of believers until every person in this city, every person in the city will know that Jesus lives today. Amen? Hallelujah. No one has courage like an army of young people. I'd like to turn loose about 5,000 Holy Ghost-filled kids on this city and let the devil tremble. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe God's going to do it. I believe that God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is building himself a church. Would you bow your heads?